Blog Talk Radio.
Need someone to be there, knowing they'll always care. Someone who lights your way each and every day. Doing what you love is everything, so we can celebrate the joy it brings. There's so much to protect in our lives. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. For those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the Text Now app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Call in tonight. I don't know what's going on. But yeah, you can call in tonight, 516-453-913. Again, this is a product of WBNN, and this is The Work Is Done. You know, tonight, again, I believe we have another powerful topic where we're talking about biblical giving, giving from a biblical standpoint. One of the things you guys know that I always endeavor to do is to, you know, study, do what the Word tells me to do. You know, the Bible tells me that I have to study to show myself approved, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That means getting the proper interpretation. So I endeavor to do that for you guys each and every week. Not every week, but every time that I come on to the radio, I want to make sure that I'm in right standing. I'm in, you know, rightly dividing the word, giving you the proper interpretation of what the word is saying. And I understand that a lot of times in doing that, it goes against the tradition, the traditionalistic teaching that people are used to and accustomed to. And I'm okay with that. You know, I know, you know, a lot of times I go against the social norms that people have set up, but that's okay. And tonight is another one of those topics where, you know, I'm going to come against some of a lot of what has been going on in the body of Christ when it comes to giving offerings and things like that. Because one of the things I don't understand, I didn't research to find out when it exactly happened. I don't know when this movement of getting people to pay for their blessing and reaping the benefits off of other people's misery and what they're going through. I don't know when that started, but I am bold enough, strong enough, enough courage to stand before you and tell you that please do not fall for some of the charlatans that are out there who call themselves leaders, who may call themselves prosperity preachers, and there's nothing wrong with being prosperous. Understand that. There's nothing wrong with being prosperous. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He says, but I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So there is an abundant life that we are capable of living. But do you have to pay for your blessing? Absolutely not. So, you know, I've seen some well-known people on TV who have prospered and become very rich, live lucrative lifestyles from getting people to sow, to be blessed, to give, to be blessed. And I don't see that when I read the scriptures. You know, here's an example. You know, you may be going through some situations, you're flipping through the channels, you turn on and you see a guy like Todd Koontz, you know, yes, I'll call names. And, you know, he's, oh, you know, if you're going through something, the Psalms 34:19 says that many are the afflictions of the righteous and, you know, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. So if you sow a seed of $34.19, you'll get this blessing. Or if you sow $34.19, you know, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's the trick. People to sow in order, because now you believe if I give this $34.19, God is going to move on my behalf. And then what happens when he does it? That person has still reaped the benefit of you sowing that seed. Now imagine if you got hundreds or thousands of people who are watching that type of broadcast and they're all going through something, you know, individually, but yet each one is giving this $34.19. And then he's on TV, like he was on TV. I don't know if he still is because I don't watch those shows anymore. But this guy was on TV like every day and every day asking people to give some type of offering for whatever situation that they were going through. Yet he's living in big houses, driving fancy cars, and, you know, the people are still suffering and struggling because God does not move just because you gave a certain amount of money. Now imagine this, because a lot of you are have studied the Bible, and I know a lot of people are so turned off by the shenanigans and these gimmicks that people are using. It's been such a turnoff that people turn away from the church, they turn away from God, they seek other religions, you know, because why do I need to follow some foolishness? So, you know, when you read the Bible, let's give some examples here. Look at the man at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus saw this man and knew that that man had been laying there for 30 years. He asked him one simple question: do you wish to be healed? the man himself came up with excuses. Well, I don't have anybody to put me in the water. Every time I try to get there, somebody steps in before me. That wasn't what Jesus asked him. He said simply, do you wish to be healed? And then the man said, yes. He said, okay, take up your bed and walk. He didn't say, if you want to be healed, you got to give this amount of money for me to heal you. With blind Bartimaeus, who when he heard Jesus walking past, cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And his friends tried to keep him quiet. And his Bible says he cried out all the more, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus called to him, he said, what is it that you would have me do for you? He said, that I might receive my sight. He said, okay, because of your faith, your sight is restored. Not because you had to give a certain amount of money. So when I'm studying the Word of God and I'm looking at how people and why people give offerings, you know, when I read in the book of Exodus, chapter 35, and I want to take a minute just to read this to you, to give you some understanding, to give you some background of how people gave in the Old Testament, and then we'll kind of flip this around during the program and show you, you know, why you can give in the New Testament church and how you should give. Not just why, but how you should give. All right. So in Exodus chapter 35, and I know again that this may ruffle some feathers, and I'm fine with ruffling feathers. Jesus ruffled feathers with the Sadducees and the Pharisees when he called them out on their foolishness. So I have no problem doing that. Here in Exodus chapter 35, starting at verse 4, and here there, God had told Moses, gave him the instructions on how to build the tabernacle. And he also gave him the instructions on the things that was needed to build the tabernacle. All right? So it says, and Moses spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take from among you an offering to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it as an offering to the Lord, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. All right, so now, this is what's needed. But notice it says that whoever is of a willing heart. I want you to remember that. And now go down to verse 20. It says 35, verse 20. It says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. Then everyone came whose heart was stirred, and everyone whose spirit was willing, and brought the Lord's offering for the work of the tabernacle of meeting, for all its service, and for the holy garments. These people were moved to bring an offering. Not that they had to, not because they were forced to. It was just that that's what they wanted to do. And it was a free will offering. It wasn't like, okay, well, you have to bring this much. You got to bring this amount. It was whoever had was willing to bring and to give. And if you finish this story out, you'll see that the people who were actually doing the work went to Moses and said, man, the people are bringing too much. You know, we got more than enough for to do the work. So let me go down to that. Here we go. And Moses said to the children of Israel, verse 30, see, the Lord has called by name, and he gave them the names of the people who's doing the work. Where is it? Verse 36 here. Exodus chapter 36, verse 2. Then Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every gifted artisan in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, everyone whose heart was stirred to come and do the work. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. So they continued bringing to him free will offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded us to do. So when I read this, and, you know, and I'm on social media, not a lot, but I see these young guys, these young pastors, and, you know, we're building a new church here, so we need people to give. I need 100 people to give $50 so we can get this church started. I need 10 people to give $50 or whatever. See, number one, if God has called you to build something, you don't have to beg the people to do the providing. You don't have to. You don't have to set, you know, I need all this amount of people to give this amount of money. You don't have to do that. If God has called you to do it and you're sharing that with people, if the people believe that you are sent from God, God is going to put it on their heart. They're going to freely give you anyway. They're going to freely give. Not that you have to put a demand on it. I've been in churches where, you know, you get some of these big name pastors that come and they come with a price, you know, for them to even come to your church. There's some of them starting at $10,000 just for them to come preach at your church. And now they're, you know, doing the service. Okay, you know, God is telling me there are 10 people here who are going to give $1,000. And I need a $1,000 line right here. Okay, now, if you got $500, I want you to get in this line. And if you got $100, get in this line. Now, what is that saying? That's saying, now, say you're sitting there. You don't have $1,000. You don't have $500. You don't have $100 to get. But you want to be a part, so you're just waiting for him to get all the way down to your number. Does that mean that your blessing is going to be less than the person who gave $1,000? Is that the kind of God that we serve? If you listen to them, that's how God operates. God operates according to how much you're willing to give. But that is not biblical. That is not biblical. But yet they use scriptures to back that up. Luke 6:33, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will get men given to your bosom. Or they quote Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me at this, that I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive. They use those scriptures to guilt people into giving. Now you've been guilted into giving some type of offering that you really can't afford to give, and now you're in worse trouble because now you used your bill money thinking that God was some type of lottery, that man, or some type of stock investment, that if I invest this money from my bills, from my household, then I'm going to be blessed. God's going to do something. Then when he doesn't, person is now gone. They're reaping the benefits of everybody who gave while you still in the same mess that you were in, because God does not work according to your money. God works according to your faith. But see, that's part of the gimmick, to see if you have faith to believe that if you sow the seed, then you'll be blessed. See that? See how that trick works? But that's not how God operates. But if you're not paying attention, because people are genuinely hungry for the word of God, people are genuinely hungry for this relationship with God, that they'll fall for the trick without even knowing they slipped and fell. And see, then you get some little old pastor like me that comes along and tries to shed some light that goes against all the stuff that you've been taught. All the, you know, you see these big time people on TV and they must know more. I mean, they're on TV. No. Don't look at the status that they're on TV. You got to pay attention to what come out of people's mouth. And see, and thank God for me, I don't belong to any cliques. I don't belong to any circles where people, I got to worry about people holding me accountable. you know, for me teaching the truth of God's word, I don't have to worry about blowback because none of them appointed me. So none of them can take what God has already given me. But see, I take my job seriously. And my job is to teach this word as it is, regardless of whether people want to hear it or not. And I'm sure that a lot of you, like I said, you've been listening to me. I've been on this program now 2.5 years, probably going on 3. And I'm not going to back down and sugarcoat nothing because that's not the kind of guy that I am, not even in my personal life. So we got to teach this thing, and we got to make sure people know the truth of God's word and stop falling for the gimmicks. Because there's too many people out here that's hurting financially following these leaders thinking that, oh, man, if I keep giving, I'll be blessed. When that's not even how your faith is supposed to work. So you're going through some struggles. Let me tell you what the Bible says. I don't care what kind of hardship you may be going through, what kind of sickness or disease you may be facing. Let me tell you how to get out of that according to the Bible. All right? We want to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Now, understand this, and this is what I've been teaching. When we read the Old Testament, we read it with the understanding that God is speaking primarily and only to his chosen people. That's what's happening in the Old Testament. God is speaking to his chosen people. So we understand that. But it doesn't mean that we can't apply the principle of what's being said to our lives today, because God's character does not change. So even though he was speaking to his people then, we can still apply that principle to our lives today. All right? So now, with that understanding, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, God says, if my people, now he's talking about the Israelites. That's who he's talking about here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. He's talking about his chosen people, the Israelites, but we can still apply that principle to us today. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. If you want to change, if you want God to move in your situation, in your circumstance, these are the four things that's needed. He says, humble yourself, pray, seek his face, and then turn from your wicked ways. He didn't say nothing about, oh, you had to give this amount of offering in order for him to move. He didn't say you had to do Holy Marys or Hail Marys or whatever, jump through hoops and do all these religious antics that people try to get you to do to think that that's what's going to get you blessed. He's not telling you to jump through no hoops. He said you got to humble yourself. Stop thinking you know what's best for you when you don't. Stop thinking you already have the answers. All right? He says humble yourself. Then he says pray. That's having communication with God. That's getting God involved. God, what should I do? How should I do it? When should I do it? Where should I do it? That's getting God's input. And then it says, seek his face. Because, God, you know better than I do. You already know what's the right thing to do. But then the last thing he says is to turn from your wicked ways. How do you think you're going to be blessed if you're still doing the wicked thing that you ain't supposed to be doing in the first place? So you got to, this is the order of things that God has already established. And it had nothing to do with you giving up any kind of money. This is Pastor Kev with The Work Is Done. We'll be back right after this track.
When it don't feel good, let me see ya. When it gets a little tight, let me see ya. Until it gets right, let me see ya.
Fred Hammond, being played by Brother O. And we're back with The Work Is Done. We're going to go to the call lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Pastor Jerry Petito. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Jerry. How are you tonight?
I'm great. So everything you were saying resonated with me growing up Catholic, and I can say that because I was Catholic. And, you know, the Catholic Church guilts everyone into their tithing. So I'm not against tithing, okay? And you know what I'm going to say, but maybe some listeners don't. Tithing came about because, you know, back in the day, there were 10 houses in a town, and they had to support their church. So 10% from 10 houses is 100% to support the church. And we should tithe, but not with everything that, like what you've said. So the problem I have with a lot of it is it's not just about your 10% or your tithing that week. I got a call from a friend the other day, and my friend is gay, and they had a baby. And do you know that they couldn't find a church to baptize that baby? Okay, Catholic Church. They would not baptize the baby. Okay? They finally found a church that will baptize the baby for a smaller fee than the Catholic Church even wanted for a regular baptismal without it being a gay parent. Okay? But the problem here is none of this is from God. And that's what everyone has to really understand, because too many people have turned from the church, have turned from God because of this stuff. This is man. This is not God. It angers me so much. Okay? I have a friend who's Pastor Joe Foch in Philadelphia, Calvary Chapel Church on Philmont Avenue, and he was a drug addict. And he's older than me. He's probably 70 now. And this man filled the house. There were people wall to wall. The church held like 3,000 people. And he had to actually tell people, please don't come more than one service because people are standing. And he would wear his jeans and his button-down flowered Hawaiian shirt every week and just sit there and talk and welcome everybody and give his services if you want to talk about Jesus, accepting Jesus. That's all it's about. Again, I'm not against tithing. People should tithe what they feel they want to tithe and what they can afford. And so everything that you're saying just really hit me hard from growing up in New York in a Catholic church.
Well, and I appreciate that, you know, but I think people, a lot of people, because the church really doesn't expound on it, they tell you that you should tithe, without really explaining where the tithe came from. You know,
right.
The tithe really came from Abraham giving Melchizedek a tenth of what he had. You know, he had just came back from battle. Melchizedek was coming through, and he gave Melchizedek a tenth. Not because he had to. Not because there was any mandate. Because remember, you know, Abraham was before the law was given. So
right.
Abraham, just out of the kindness of his heart, gave a tenth. Not that he had to, or that there was some kind of rule, there was this commandment, there was mandate. It was, he could have gave 5%. He could have gave 1%. But he chose to give 10. And because of that, that's where this tithing institution started, of where you had to give a tenth. That's where that started. So man, of course, always take something from the Bible and makes a religion out of it. So, really, I mean, you can tithe if you want to. There's no mandate for you to tithe. There's no mandate for you to give a tenth of your earning. And that's what people really just don't understand. And especially when it comes to the New Testament church. Jesus never taught on tithing. When he commanded Paul to take the gospel to the Gentiles, Paul never taught on tithing.
Right.
So why is it that the churches today are still trying to get people to tithe? I can give you my my guesstimate of why they do it, my understanding of why I know some churches do it, and it's because a lot of guys, when they start churches, they start off in churches that are too big for their budget anyway. So the only way that they can maintain those churches is to get the people to give so that they can meet their financial requirements. That's one of the reasons. But when it comes to the Bible, there's no biblical mandate for us in the New Testament church to tithe.
That's right. I love everything you're teaching. No, I just love everything that you're teaching in general, but especially tonight, because too many people have left church, left God, because of man-made rules. And I just wish they would all really understand that they just have to bring it to God and accept Jesus, and that's it, and not listen to man.
But again, you know, I haven't grown up Catholic. I have been to a couple of Catholic services. And any time where you put yourself in a situation where you're being dictated the Bible, being told what the Bible says, and not going home, not being encouraged to read it for yourself, this is what happens. This is how man gets to continue building religion and religious commandments and religious rules and regulations based on his interpretation of what he wants the Bible to say.
Yep.
And this is what's been happening. And now you have all these people now who get offended. And then, yeah, they do leave the church. They do turn their back on God because they never knew God for themselves.
Right.
God was always dictated to them. And I don't like what I'm hearing. So since I don't like what I'm hearing, I'll just stop hearing it.
Right.
So, but, you know, that's what I said. You get this little knucklehead pastor out of Philadelphia who's not afraid to tell the truth.
No.
Because I don't have a church governing body to answer to. I don't have, you know, bishops or church organizations or institutions that I have to answer to. I don't. And so, therefore, I am free to be me and free to tell the truth.
Now,
what people do with the truth once they hear it, that's up to them. So I appreciate Jerry calling in, as always, the Jerry Petito Show. Tell them again when your show airs, Jerry.
Okay, so not this past Tuesday, but the one before was my show. So 4 weeks from that Tuesday. And again, guys, Benedito King, Benny King's son, will be my guest. So tune in.
All right, all right. So let's look forward to calling in to Sister Jerry's show. And here, you know, like I said, tonight we're talking about what could be a touchy subject for people. Should I give to my local church? Absolutely. You should definitely give to support your local church. Why? Because when you go to your church, if it's hot outside, you want to sit in some air conditioning. You don't want to sit in a hot church with a fan. If it's cold outside, you want to make sure you go in there and you got some heat. You want to make sure you don't have to keep your coat on throughout the whole service. You want to make sure that the lights are working and the water's running. Amen. So, you know, yes, you should give to your local church because they have, you know, to pay bills and things like that. Utility companies, they don't take faith checks. They want cash. When they put that check in the bank, they want to make sure the money's there. So, yes, you should support your local church. That is not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about how, you know, you see some of these people on television who are benefiting off of the trials and tribulations that people are going through by getting them to give to them, because that's really who you're giving your money to. You're giving your money to them, and they're pocketing your money. And then they're like I said before, if I can get 1,000 people listening to a broadcast, if I can guilt them into giving $34.19, telling them that God is going to move on their behalf, then guess how much money I just made in that 1 hour broadcast? That's a heck of a paycheck. And if I'm doing that every day, imagine the lifestyle that they're living. Compare that, compare their lifestyle to the ones who are giving with this expectation that God is going to do this mighty move, this mighty miracle, and then he doesn't because God is not moved by you giving that money because that's not how he operates. So I said we want to look at the New Testament giving, and that's what we're going to do now. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, and I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation. And you'll see how this kind of correlates with what we read in the book of Exodus. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much you to give. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. How is somebody trying to guilt you into giving when God says don't give according to that? Let me read it to you out of the New King James Version. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So you shouldn't be giving grudgingly. You sure shouldn't be giving out of necessity. That's not how God works. He's not a genie in a bottle that you rub the bottle. He's not the stock market that you just, he's not a lottery ticket. Oh, man, I hope I hit this lottery. No, God works according to your faith. Now, if you want to give, give. Give cheerfully, give freely. Yes, if you want to give abundantly, God will move on that. But you're not giving because I'm giving because I got this need. I'm giving because I'm sick and I want to be healed. I'm giving because I got a financial problem and I need a financial breakthrough. That's giving out of necessity. And then Paul is clearly telling us that's not how we are supposed to give. So I'm hoping that this is reaching somebody out there tonight. And if it is, call in. Let's talk about it when the work is done. We'll be back right after this.
Every
right, we're back. Going to the phone lines. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Welcome to the Work Is Done.
Hi, peace and blessings, Pastor Hat. Pastor.
Peace and the Bessie, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing fine. And you?
I'm always blessed, and I'm blessed even more when I get to talk to you.
You know, I'm listening to the things that you're saying. You know, I couldn't never figure out this. We have a religion that charges to get out of hell.
Yeah.
Now, that's not supposed to be, because the Creator is the judge whether you go to hell or heaven.
Right.
But I don't understand how they can think that they can take money from people for them to get out of hell.
Well, I mean, they think it because that's what people do. See, if you convince people of that, then you can make a living off of that. Because like I said before, people are genuinely hungry for the word. They're hungry for the relationship with God. But yet mm-hmm. you have people who take advantage of that. So that's what
yeah.
it is. If you say, well, you know, it's going to cost you, like, you know, even, and I'm hearing even prophets now, you know, send this amount of money and I'll send you a prophetic word. Like, what? But see, you can only get away with what people will allow you to get away with.
Yes, because sometimes I get these letters, and they have something in them. They might have a coin in it, or they may have a piece of cloth in it, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will ask you for a donation for a prayer. And, you know, I always tear them up because you can't buy God.
You cannot. But, see, you have that understanding. For people who feel as though they need something like that,
mm-hmm.
I need, okay, you send me this donation and I'll send you this prayer cloth. If you rub this prayer cloth or you put this cloth under your pillow or if you do this, then God is going to move. If you get this special water, I blessed it and I prayed over it. Now you take this water and you drink it and now God is going to move on your back. See, all this is gimmick stuff.
Yeah.
But this is the stuff that people fall for, and this is the only reason why these people can continue to do it, because people keep falling for it.
Yeah.
And it's only because don't know God for themselves.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Pastor. You know I love you, and I wanted to call in and give my support as always.
And I appreciate you so much, Sister Betsy the Truther. Once again, just reminding people of when your show is and when it takes place.
My show, The Front Porch, will be on the 19th of this month, and I have a guest for this
Amen.
Month.
All right, so that's August 19th, The Front Porch with Sister Betsy the Truther. She's got a special guest. I'm sure you guys are not going to want to miss it. Awesome woman of God, awesome woman, just period. And I'm always blessed, like I said, by her calling in, by her presence. But, yeah, so we're talking tonight about, you know, giving. Should you give? How much should you give? Why should you give? There are reasons for you to give, and that's what we were talking about before the last break, how you should absolutely, positively give to support your local church. But how much you give, the Bible tells us that that's up to you. As you purpose in your heart, you know the things that are needed. And like I said, you know you want to sit in warm church in the wintertime. You want to sit in a cool church in the summertime. You want to make sure that the lights are working, that the bathrooms are working. You want to make sure that. So, you know, you understand that your church has financial obligations. And, you know, so we have to absolutely support our local church. But what I'm talking about are the gimmickers, the ones who run games. And try to get you to give just so that they can continue to reap financial rewards from it. That's what I'm talking about tonight. And we read before the last break here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, where, you know, Paul is teaching us. He says in verse 7, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. And now because how you purpose in your heart, it says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. So that's a lot said in that verse right there. But it has nothing to do with, you know, you feeling guilty. Because, you know, when it comes to tithing, and even I, because see, I experience this, and a lot of times I minister from my personal experience. I used to feel guilty because I couldn't meet my tithing obligation. Should I tithe from my gross? Should I tithe from my net? Oh, I had other bills and stuff like that, so I couldn't meet my financial obligation. And see, then you start getting all this self-condemnation only because you don't feel as though you're living up to your Christian walk. You don't feel as though you're living up to your relationship with God. And now the enemy comes in. Now he starts to bombard you with all these feelings of guilt. Oh, man, I wasn't able to pay my tithes. I wasn't able to get my tithes this week. Oh, this month. And now, like, I was short because I had to pay the bills. Now I'm faced with this choice. Do I give my tithes or do I pay my electric bill? Do I give my tithe and hope and pray that God's not going to turn my lights off? Well, guess what? Your lights is getting shut off because you ain't paid that bill. Point blank, the electric company don't care nothing about your tithing obligation. They don't care nothing about you going to church. They don't care nothing about none of that. They want their money. And guess what? You don't pay that bill, they're going to let you know, okay, we shutting your lights off in 3 days unless you pay this bill. So you got to make sure you're not falling for the tricks. We'll be back after this.
Bread of life sent down from glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king, a carpenter. But you are the living word. Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread, send down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
You
yourself bad.
Bread of life, you are the living word. That is my man, Fred Hammond, brother. You rocking it tonight. Now, you play He Lives, you're just going to set it off with me. That's just a little subtle hint. But we're back with The Work Is Done, and we're going back to the call lines. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
How you doing, man of God? My tribal name is Huni Bakatun, and my pen and stage name is the Magic Man Haru. How you doing tonight, sir?
Man, I'm always good. How are you tonight, Magic Man Brother Huni?
Yes, indeed. Always good. You know, it's amazing how the Creator works, because I was speaking with a guy that swore up and down. And I, you know, debates is outdated. You know, debates to me, because I dealt with some of the best debaters of our time. And right now, mm-hmm. you know, we're not getting anywhere, especially as a people debating back and forth. But, you
right.
know, I did get, and I tried not to even get into discussions because it's going to leave one or more people disgusted. But anyway, this young man, well, actually he was an older gentleman, and he was speaking similar to what you was talking about, the message that you are providing for us tonight, and I give thanks to the Creator for it. So we're kind of going back and forth, not for the sake of argument, but over, I don't like, if a person don't have it, suppose you just wanted to pretty much like donate 10% of their time, would that be suffice enough for your church
right.
or Reverend Chicken Wing? He said, yes. So he said a person can donate 10% of their time. So anyway, finally, you know what he told me, man of God? He told me, he said, I see where this is going. I don't know if he listened to some of my advancements online or whatever. He said, well, here's what I need you to do. He said, I need you to call my hotline because right now this time, you know, for us to kind of keep going back and forth over this. So he gave me a number, man of God. You know what number this man gave me?
What did he give you?
Man told me to call 82-448-55. That's why I put it online so I can have this person on blast. And I'm like, okay. Every time I call the number, I can't seem to get through. But being a scientist, man of God, you know what the Most High laid on my heart, and He told me to look these up. And this is something I want for all the listeners out there, because of the digital age in which we're in. A lot of times we don't see certain things. We're just dialing a number, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Remember the old phone, the old rotary phone that used to have the letters?
Right. Yes.
Remember? So when I decoded it, you know what this man, supposed to be a man of God, told me the number based on the number that he gave me. You know what it ended up being, man of God.
Oh, no, don't say go to.
Yeah, it was a hotline straight to hell.
Listen, And the only thing I can do about that is laugh. You know what I mean? Because I know you did the right thing. I know you didn't, you know, have any negative thoughts or evil thoughts. I hope you did anyway. But I don't think you're that kind of guy that, you know, you recognize him for what he was.
After they put me out, they put me out of his church, man of God. But you know, I don't wanted to. I just wanted to put him on blast like that. And a matter of fact, please, nobody else called that number. I did. So I guess I was like a sacrificial lamb to find out that this guy has got some evil things going on in his heart and in his ministry. So please, anyone out there, don't you dare dial that number. You know, and I can't see a church like that standing, because that's a church that's not even built on stone. That church is bound to fall at any time. Gotta be.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. It might not fall. Because if you just look back in history, how are people like that who established their churches, why are their churches able to stand? You look at, like, Jim Jones. He had a church where he had these people drinking poison. That's the only way that church fell. Them people died. David Koresh in Texas, in Waco, they had to storm the place. That's the only way that church fell. But the people were supporting it. And again, I keep saying this to everybody that's listening, because there's a hunger and a thirst for God, people will fall for foolishness rather than go and study for themselves to know what they should be doing. You rather have somebody tell you what to do. And that's why, you know, he said, the Bible says we're all like sheep on our way to the slaughter. People don't think for themselves. Sheep don't think for themselves. Really, sheep just follow the shepherd. And if you follow the wrong person, he going to lead you down a dark path. Now, would you agree with that?
Yep. Yes, sir. Totally, totally. That's why, you know, I give thanks to our Heavenly Father for, you know, using you as a man of God, especially for us, of our great radio station, WBNN. Thank you so much for delivering such an on-time message tonight. And so I'm going to put it on pause and listen to the rest of your show, okay?
All right, man. I appreciate you, man. Hey, listen, I thank God for you as well. Before you go, you have a show on WBNN as well. Let the people know when next time you'll be on.
Yes, sir. Coming, I've been running a three-part series. I just completed the first one. Part two, it will be on August 20th and about traveling souls and disembodied spirits. This one here is definitely to explain a lot of things that's happening in our world. Okay, so it's very, very important. Okay, so that'll be August the 25th, Thursday at 9:30 on this great WBNN station. Okay?
Amen. Hey, we want to thank all you listeners. Join me in thanking Brother Huni Bakintun, also known as the Magic Man, for calling in tonight. Always with, you know, appreciate his words of wisdom, his understanding of who we are as a people. Amen. So let's thank him together, and we'll be back right after this.
Now, of course, you know, Pastor Cavs, you know, I mean, want to put me on the spot there. But you know, Pastor, you know, you can't put me on the spot, though. You don't. It's one of my favorite songs right here from one of the greatest gospel singers that ever lived. You know, my favorite gospel singer, everybody knows, is John P. Keith. But this is my second favorite gospel singer. So, Pastor Cavs, you know better than that, man. Stop playing with me.
Whatever you plant in that field, put it that way. whatever you plant, that's what's going to grow. If you're tired of seeing the stuff that's growing in your garden, then you need to plant something different in your garden. But don't expect roses if you keep planting cabbage. A rose flower will never grow from a cabbage seed. So if you want something different, you got to sow something different. But it's not about following giving because somebody's telling you some kind of gimmick to get you to give so that they can continue to get richer while you're still going through what you're going through. That's foolishness. And I literally, I had to stop, I joined Clubhouse. I had to stop going in some of the rooms on Clubhouse because everybody wants a title. Everybody, oh, I'm that prophet, that, and I got to work. Is everybody a prophet? No. Just because God gave you a prophetic word to speak at one point in time doesn't mean you're a prophet. But yet you got all these people out here wanting to talk about, they got these titles. Come on, brother, what you got?
Well, first of all, you know how we both grew up, man. We grew up in a church, man, that had love and concern for each other. And as children, of course, we always wanted to hear the choir, right? Right? And, a lot of people didn't know. I sang in, all the clubs in the church, the Glee Club, the Rhythm Club, and I led the junior chorus. So shut up, Pastor Perry. Anyway, but during the time I did lead the junior chorus, It was a fresh anointing at that time. If children wanted to, they looked up to the pastors. They looked up to the ministers. They looked up to shout out to two of my greatest influences in my life, Pastor Perry, a young lady by the name of Ernestine Lewis and Janice Ruiz. They were my choir directors, man. It was so much love in the church. It wasn't about what you could suck out of people. And so before you do your final thoughts, being the world-famous DJ that I am, I got to bring it back to the altar for a second. You know that, right? I'm going to bring it back to the altar with this one. You ready? Because it's going to happen. Here we go, Pastor. Let's get it.
Say it again, Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's healing in the name of
Jesus.
There's salvation in the name of
Jesus.
The Bible says that demons tremble at the sound of that name. Jesus, my sweet rose of Sharon, my lily of the valley. Oh, that's the reason I say that
Jesus is the answer for the world today.
If you have some questions in the corners of your mind and traces of discouragement and peace you cannot find, reflections of your past seem to face you every day. But there's one thing I do know, that Jesus is the way.
Love him, there's no other.
Jesus
you think you cannot fly. I know your skies are dark, you think the sun won't shine. In case you don't know, but the word of God is true, and everything he promised, he would do it for you. That's the reason I say,
we're back for our final thoughts here tonight. And I have to say that that was the perfect song to end this broadcast on. It really just summed up everything that I was talking about tonight. Jesus is the answer. You know, and at the beginning of the song, you know, the blood of Jesus is what cleanses us, heals us, sets us free. At the name of Jesus, demons tremble. I mean, that's it. That summed it up. That whole song was really my final thoughts. Jesus is the answer. And he already paid the ultimate price. Now the only thing that he requires from us is obedience. That's the main thing that it requires. If you look back in the Old Testament, the very first king of Israel was Saul, King Saul. And he was given instructions by God through the prophet Samuel, but he disobeyed. And, you know, when Samuel came to him, he said, man, why didn't you do what God told you to do? Oh, well, I got all this to give as an offering. He said, man, obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience. Stop thinking you got to pay your way. And I believe it was, I don't know if it was Sister Jerry or Sister Bessie that said, you can't pay your way out of hell. You can't. You can't buy your way. You can't pay your way out of hell. You certainly can't buy your way into heaven. Obedience is better than sacrifice. So to sum everything up, if you want to give, truly give from your heart. That's what God wants. He wants you to give freely. He wants you to give it from your heart. Not giving because you think you're going to get something back. Because it doesn't work that way. But if you want to give, give. If you don't want to give, don't give. And I'm going to finish it with this, I promise. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, we hear the account of Ananias and Sapphira. Everybody's going around. They're selling stuff that they have, selling their houses, and they're giving the money to the church. Well, these two sold their house for a certain amount of money, but then lied about it And when he lied about it, and Peter asked him, he said, well, first of all, it was your house. You didn't even have to sell it. He said, but even after you sold it, the money that you got was your money. Why are you now lying about how much you sold it for? And they both died, husband and wife, both died from that. What do I mean? It's just that give what you want to give. If you got it and you want to give it, give it. If you ain't got it, don't give what you don't have. Stop operating by the mentality, I got to rob Peter to pay Paul, because God doesn't work that way. All right? So I hope you enjoyed the broadcast tonight, and we're going to bring on Brother O for Ngozi time.
Jesus is
Hold on, Chichilla. No. You're fading in and out. I don't know what's going on with that. But I'm going to try to break back on our commission in a minute. But yes, Pastor Perry, I want to, you know, really talk to you. Those songs kept people sane. You know, the same things going on in this world today is the same things were going on back then too. You know what I mean? It's just different trials and tribulations, right? You know, if you didn't have segregation, you couldn't eat at a certain lunch counter, right? We grew up where we didn't have to do that, right? There's always some type of trial and tribulation, right, Pastor? But through it all that time, if Jesus was the answer for the world today, above him, there's no other. You know, when Andre sang that song, shout out to West Angeles Church of God in Christ, of course, where, of course, the Crouches, Bishop Samuel M. Crouch's father, may he rest in peace, right? You know, coming up like that, man, you know, you knew. I have to say this tonight, and then hopefully our commissioner is clear for Ngozi time. I'm telling you, Pastor Kev, it was a time when that Sunday morning came, you knew nothing was wrong with it. And it was not no type of brainwashing you into Christianity. There was none of that. It was the Spirit of God that reigned into your heart and said, this is good stuff. And I'm going to tell you something, and I will never run. I'll never shy from it, Pastor Kev. I'll let you speak on after I say it, and then bring on Sister Chichilla. I would never, ever forget the great feelings I had as a child coming up in the church. You know, I know a lot of people had their own experiences, and I'm very, very saddened about that. But, man, I'm telling you, the experiences I've had coming up in the grand old Church of God in Christ, I wouldn't trade it for money. I wouldn't trade it for the world, because I had two sanctified parents that lived right, did right, never showed me an error in their ways and their walk, and I was very, very blessed. Pastor Perry, your final thoughts on that one, and then I'll bring on Chinchilla.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, you know, and that's why I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I don't know where it changed. I don't know where we went from really just coming to church, experiencing the joy of the Lord, the joy of fellowship, because a lot of churches back then were all centered around family anyway. And I don't know when the shift happened, where we transformed from coming to church, experiencing the joy of the Lord, to now making it a fashion show. And who can outdress who can outpreach who can out hoop and holler, who can outshout who, and who got the biggest checkbook, and who wants to stand in the line and be seen giving the biggest donation. I don't know where we got to that. So what do we have to do? We got to pray. Because like you said, there's nothing new. The trials and tribulations, the only thing that keeps changing is the date. And no, we don't have some of the same challenges that people had back then, but we're all going to have challenges. That's never going to end. You're going to face one challenge, whether it's your finances, your health, the death of a loved one. You're going to face something. It's nothing new. But we just got to get back. That's what the Bible says. Go back to your first love. And he's free. It don't cost you nothing to go back to God. He's free. With that, we'll set up for Ngozi time.
All right, Commissioner. Nope, Commissioner. And I don't know what's going in and out. That's okay. And like I said, our Commissioner tries. That's what I love about my Commissioner. You know, if she might have a problem with a line or doing goofy time, but she's always available, and she tries. So I really appreciate her. So thank you, Chichilla. You did nothing wrong tonight. In goofy time, what can I say tonight about what Pastor Perry said? And he's giving a good word. And that's what we need these days. It's a good word. A good word. And I hope you accepted it and decided for yourself for better living. Dundee Inn has advertising food, Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're at Pinterest and Instagram and Twitter at Ngozi_time. All of those in the lane, Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or I want for programming tonight? Ole de lay, thy Ngozi mind, gmail.com, now I am. You might be a father's fan producer, Ole de lay, where Ngozi is saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there on Unforced Radio support us on a constant basis tonight. And now, the invitation to discipleship. Reverend Pastor Kevin Perry. And stay tuned for News Forum on Sunday with the Sonya Griffin Award-winning new host of the year for the class of 2021, Dr. Chichilla J, right here at WBNN, 930 East Street, daylight time, Sunday.
Yes, like I said in the final thoughts, the price for your salvation has already been paid. It's already been done. It's already been settled. Your account has been settled. And if you realize that there's just something off, something that's still needed, because maybe you thought, man, I was in the kingdom and I was operating according to foolishness, and yet things aren't going right, or I walked away, I turned my back on God because I didn't like what I was hearing, I didn't like what I was seeing in the church, and because I walked away, I felt as though I'm having even more problems. See, a relationship with God doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. Jesus, his life wasn't perfect. His life ended, and his life here on earth ended violently. People turned their back on him. The very people that celebrated him were the same ones. They were shouting, Hosanna to the highest. And then next they were shouting, crucify him. So he went through stuff too. He endured, just like we have to endure. But it makes it so much better to go through life with someone who you know has got your back. And that's a man named Jesus. So you don't have to suffer on your own. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect, but man, I know that he can bring me through a lot more than I can get myself through. So if that's you tonight and you want to make that change, just simply say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit within me. Thank you for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. And with that, believe with your heart that God has saved you. Now, build your relationship. Pray, communicate, study, read your word. And then you'll see that things will start to turn around for you. All for the best. Hey, this is Pastor Kev. The work is done here on WBNN. Shouts out to all those that called in tonight and to our wonderful president and DJ, our fabulous DJ, Brother O. Hey, listen, I'll be back in 4 weeks. So sit tight, and I'll be back in 4. Holla.